You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com.
Ronald Stump! It's Ronald Stump!
Billy lifted his head. His vision hadn't fully returned, but he could make out vague shapes. The one shape that filled his field of view was a golden shimmer. His head lolled to the side, but someone righted it for him. "Billy Barbarian?" a strong voice coming from the golden shimmer said.
"Yes?"
Billy said in a weak and pitiful voice. "I would have you stand up so that I could talk to you." Hands reached under Billy's arms and pulled him to his feet. His vision cleared slightly, and he could make out Ronald Stump's face.
"Ronald Stump?"
"Yes, Billy, it's me. I wanted to commend you on such a wonderful job you did saving everyone from that horrible wizard." At no time did Ronald Stump's head stop looking around. He looked to be holding his side and favoring one leg. Something about him didn't feel right. But Billy's mind didn't process everything quickly enough for him to catch on what it was.
"Where is Celine? Is she well? I do hope she got away."
"I'm here!"
Celine pushed her way through the wall of people surrounding the scene and pushed her way to Billy's side.
"Billy, are you all right?"
"I'll live."
With each passing moment, Billy's eyesight cleared. Ronald looked nervous. His eyes shifted from Billy to Celine and back to Billy.
"I'm so glad I was able to catch both of you together."
"Stop right there!"
an equally powerful voice commanded, and Ronald Stump emerged from within the crowd.
"I can't believe you're up to your old tricks."
The first Ronald Stump turned to face the second Ronald Stump.
"How'd you get down here so quickly?"
Billy blinked his eyes and shook his head.
"What's happening?"
"Two Ronald Stumps!"
Gasps rose up from the crowd. The second Ronald Stump said,
"I told you not to try this. Now look what happened."
They both circled and stared at each other.
"You should have stayed away."
"I'm your brother. How could I stay away? I'm the one that tipped off Seth that you might try something when I found out you were doing the security at this event. I should have never outsourced it. I should have known better."
"So it must have been you that tried to kill Celine."
"I never tried to have her killed, only to try to warn her off so she'd end the concert. Once I knew you were in the stadium, I knew you'd try to go through with your plan. You've been trying to do this since we were kids."
"But it's you, my brother, who's taken over the city. It's not fair that I should suffer in your shadow. I'll not remain there any longer."
With the two walking and talking, Billy got confused as to who was who. Two Ronald Stumps. It didn't make any sense.
"You should have just stayed in your tower penthouse. I gave you everything you needed. It should have been enough that I took care of you. Is this how you repay me?" "Oh, yes, to always be the great Ronald Stump's brother. That's what I wanted for myself. I should have been content to just sit in my golden tower and live my life in obscurity. No, it wasn't enough. I wanted more. You, of all people, should understand that. It's in our blood to want more than we have. But this? This was my way to gain that power that was due me. No one was just going to give it to me, and you earned far more than I ever could. So I was just going to take it."
Billy tried to sort everything out. Ronald and Iman. Twins locked in a power struggle. It didn't make any sense. It made less sense when one of them charged the other. They went down in a golden ball of swinging fists and kicking legs. People moved away, not wanting to get between the fighting brothers.
"Billy, what do we do?" Celine asked desperately.
"Which one is Iman?"
"I don't know."
Billy rubbed his head.
"We've got to get Iman away from Ronald and put this on him."
Billy fumbled for his pouch. He had to get the handout that Seth had given him. He had to get it out and on Iman. Then Seth could... He'd given the hand to Phil. But where was Phil? He'd gone up to Iman's box seat. He must not have gotten there in time. Or... Billy didn't want to think the worst.
"Out of the way! Out of the way!"
Phil's voice boomed over the crowd.
"Phil! Over here!"
Phil pushed people out of his way and stomped into the circle. He tossed the little hand to Billy, and with his massive hands picked up the two fighting brothers, both looking disheveled and bleeding from various cuts on their faces.
"This is all your fault!" one screamed. "No, it's yours!" the other screamed back.
"Enough!"
Phil boomed. The two Ronald Stumps went limp.
"Billy, which one is Iman?"
The two stumps pointed at each other and said, "He is!" Billy shook his head.
"I don't know. They look the same. How can I tell the difference?"
Both started claiming they were the true Ronald Stump and citing all sorts of facts and figures that meant nothing to Billy. Nothing either of them said would sway him because he really couldn't tell the two apart.
"Celine, do you know?"
She shook her head and frowned. Billy wiped his face with his hand. It came away tacky with blood and sweat, his reward for saving a stadium full of people. He had to figure this out, but no one would be able to help him. People pointed and screamed their vote for which one was the correct Ronald, but Billy couldn't trust anyone, for they pointed and screamed just as loudly for each.
"Stop! Stop! Stop!"
Billy yelled. He needed quiet to think this all through. Everyone just needed to shut up so he could figure this out. He didn't have the strength to do this with a screaming mass of people filling his brain and confusing the matter. If he had to solve this riddle with his head, he needed to be able to think clearly. Billy raised his head and looked at the two Ronald Stumps, then at Phil, and smiled. Phil lowered the two men just enough to allow their feet to touch the ground. Each looked nervous.
"Billy, I'm the real Ronald Stump."
"No, Billy, don't be fooled. He's a liar, and will do anything to get you to think that." Billy reached for his pouch and slowly produced the orb from his pocket. He had only one thought for it. Iman. The Ronald Stump on Phil's right twitched slightly and reached for his side, then righted himself. That's all Billy needed to see. He threw the small hand at Iman.
"No!"
Billy could only watch as Iman gripped the hand and tried to pull it off his body. He pulled and turned and tugged, but the hand wouldn't come free. Phil let him go and backed away. Iman ran at the crowd, but no one would allow him to pass, no matter how much he threatened. He yelled, he screamed, and he punched, but still the crowd kept him contained. Phil released Ronald Stump.
"How could you do this?"
Iman, a wicked look of one truly insane upon his face, wheeled about, and he looked right at Billy. Billy just stood and held the orb.
"This is all your fault! All my careful planning, all the months of preparation, ruined! Ruined! Do you understand what you've done?"
He did, but Billy could only watch as Iman charged across the small open space. Phil grabbed for Iman, but didn't catch him. Several people from the crowd lunged out, but also failed to grab Iman. Celine gasped. Billy's body did nothing. He'd lost all the will to move, and his mind had gone all but numb. Iman screamed, but his forward movement stopped just inches from Billy, his hands clutching to take hold of Billy's throat. Everyone moved back as far as they could as Iman rose into the air, still trying to run at Billy. He threw the orb, which Billy easily caught. He put both orbs in his pouch and watched. Up above, Billy could just make out the shadowy underbelly of a black dragon. He could see Seth's face peek out of a window and wave to the crowd below. Yet again, Billy found himself deafened by the exploding cheers of the crowd. He didn't flinch this time. If he had had the strength, he might have joined them. As it was, all he could do was smile. Fat appeared out of nowhere. He looked to be no worse for the wear after all that had transpired. Phil reached to grab him, but Billy motioned for him to leave him be.
"Where have you been?"
Billy asked.
I discover what Iman want you to do. When I see you go after Celine, I try get help. With Iman controlling you, I could no stop you. But I got scared and hid."
Fat looked at the ground. Phil loomed behind Fat. Fat shied away from Phil, but he didn't have anywhere to go.
"Billy, I sorry we get you involved. I really no know what Iman had planned. If I know he wanted use you like that."
Billy placed his hand on Fat's shoulder.
"I'm not stupid, but I forgive you. I don't think you knew to what extent Iman wanted to take this."
"No, really, I no know anything. Iman, well, he buy the Pang Hao, my restaurant, and he hold it over my head every time he wants something. I no have choice to ask questions."
Billy frowned. Fat may be telling the truth, but he didn't have the brain power to think about it right now.
"Hey, look at that! Someone is coming down! Who's that?"
People pointed up into the sky. The shape of the dragon still lingered in the sky with the struggling golden shape of Iman rising into the air, but something else descended. A person, dressed in white pants and a bright red shirt.
Jack!
Jack Indabok stepped into the circle of people, and the screaming form of Iman disappeared into the night sky. Fat hugged Jack.
I think you're dead!
Jack struggled to keep from being crushed by Fat.
I thought I was dead, too. One moment I'm getting a Teo, the next I'm falling off a dragon. If Seth hadn't latched onto my leg with something, I'd have been smashed all over Sethopolis right now. That Seth is a really good guy. He said to look him up at the castle if I ever needed anything. Isn't that great?
Billy placed his hands on Fats and Jack's shoulders.
Why me?
He had to know. This had started because Jack had found Billy. He had to know why they'd picked him up, though he was pretty sure he knew the answer. Jack shrugged.
Iman said we needed somebody from outside the city who was really strong and not very bright. He also told me where to find you. He said we'd be on duty here at the stadium tonight to protect Celine, but that's about it. I swear to you, Billy, he didn't tell us anything about this mess. What happened to the stage?
As best as he could, Billy tried to tie everything together, but Ronald Stump interrupted.
Billy, you did the city a great service, and I'll make sure King Seth knows that.
King Seth?
You didn't know? You are, after all, in his city, Sethopolis.
Billy rolled his head to the side, then wished he hadn't. Suddenly the obvious made sense. He looked up to see if he could catch a glimpse of Seth's dragon, but it was long gone. Ronald leaned in and spoke to Billy, placing his arms around his shoulders.
Billy, you've got my card, right? Make sure you come and see me. The city isn't always like this, and I'm sure I can find a place for you in my organization. You don't have to say anything right now. We'll have a lot of time for talking when you're feeling better. For now, I'm going to get some doctors to look you over.
Ronald waved down two people carrying a stretcher and rushed them over and helped Billy sit down. His body gave up, and he collapsed. He had no more power to move even the slightest. He watched the faces above him. Fat, Jack, Celine, Ronald, Phil, each with a different expression, but all showing thanks. Phil's face towered above them all.
Before you take him, I must ask, Billy, can I see those orbs again?
Billy grunted his acknowledgement, and Phil retrieved Billy's pouch.
Fat, Jack, can I have yours as well?
Fat and Jack both turned theirs over to Phil.
Thank you. Billy, I'll be checking in with you as soon as I can. For now, I think there's a little matter of clearing out this stadium and making sure it's done safely. As for you two,
he looked sternly at Fat and Jack.
You need to make sure Celine stays safe.
I'm going with Billy.
No, you're not. He needs to go to the hospital. You need to get out of here before this crowd becomes an unruly mob because of Iman's actions.
Ronald waved his hands.
I'm afraid I agree. My dragon will be landing on the stage any moment, and I can take you anywhere you need to go. We'll get to ride in the famous Stump Dragon?
Jack asked, his eyes wide. You're protecting her. You'll have to come with me. Phil, you need a lift?
I'll be fine. I won't have any problem getting out of here.
Very well. And Billy, I'll be talking with you real soon. You get better first. Billy closed his eyes and allowed himself to slip into unconsciousness. Voices became murmurs. People blurred from reality, and his mind turned off. Billy hugged his mom.
I miss you, he told her.
Billy, you don't need to miss me. You haven't been gone that long. Why, when your father was your age, he'd be gone for months at a time before he'd start to miss me and think about coming home.
But, Mom, I'm not like him. I think I made a big mistake coming to the big city. I want to go home.
Billy's mom smiled warmly.
That's so sweet, dear. But I can't let you do that. You didn't feel like you fit in here, and now that things are getting tough, you want to turn tail and come back home? That's not how a barbarian deals with the challenges life deals him. You've got to stay strong and face challenges head on.
I did, Mom. It nearly got me killed.
You're a barbarian. I doubt you're as close to death as you think. We're a tougher breed than those city folk. It'll do them some good to have a person like you around, and it'll do you good to be around them. I went to the city once.
You? In the city?
That's where I met your father. Oh, he was having a grand time burning down buildings and decapitating people. When he grabbed me and rode away with me on his horse, I thought my life was over.
Dad kidnapped you?
Sure he did. And you know what, Billy? It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I had grown up on a farm and didn't know anything else. Your father showed me the world, and before I knew it, I was pregnant with you. Your father took me back to the north and built a house, furnishing it with the plunder from our travels. He made sure I always had the best of everything and never wanted. That's not the life I want for you, Billy. I want you to have adventures, but I want you to have a place to call home. The city is just that place for you. You can roam if you feel the need. But the city will provide you with more experiences than you'd ever get just coming back home.
I don't know that I'm cut out to live in the city. Everything happens so quickly here. The people I've met, I don't know if I can trust them. I've got so many questions. Where do I start? I feel so afraid. I'm nothing like Dad. He was so brave and strong.
Billy's mom laughed. Not a cold laugh, but a warm-hearted laughter that confused Billy. Honey, you are exactly like your father. Do you think each time he set out to plunder a village he knew exactly what to do, or which buildings to burn, or which leaders to kill, or kidnap and hold hostage? He appeared brave, but when he would come home, he would tell me of his fears and how he had to make choices on the spur of the moment in order to save one of his men's lives. He would so often put himself at risk to protect others. That's exactly what you show. You have the same traits as him, and I couldn't be more proud of you. I know what you've done and how well it's gone. She reached up and caressed his face. I think it's time for you to wake up and take hold of the new life that's before you.
When Billy awoke, it was dark, so he went back to sleep. He woke a while later and it was still dark. He thought about going back to sleep, but he wasn't tired anymore. He moved to roll to the side, but pain shot through his body, causing his leg to twitch and his eyes to flutter before he fell back onto the bed. He heaved a heavy sigh and allowed his body to relax. Taking in a deep breath through his nose, he caught the scent of flowers.
"Are you all right?"
a gentle voice said, followed by a soft hand on his bare chest. Billy felt and realized he was naked, in the presence of a woman. Quickly he tried to get out of bed, but his body didn't respond.
"Easy, easy, just lay still. Your body hasn't healed yet, and the doctors say it won't for a long time, even though they say you're in the best shape of any man they've ever seen."
That voice, that easy, whispery voice, it sounded so familiar, but it couldn't be.
"Celine?"
"Of course. Who else would be here?"
Billy slowly slid his hand across the bed and found her body close to his. Her skin felt like fine velvet. She was naked, too. Again, Billy tried to get out of the bed, at the same time trying to control the flush he felt rushing into his cheeks.
"Billy, are you all right?"
"I shouldn't be in your bed. I should be home. I need to go. Where are my clothes?"
Billy spoke so quickly he wasn't even sure what he was saying. Unfortunately, he couldn't do anything except lie flat on the bed. Celine's hand held him down. He put his hands flat on the bed so as not to touch her again.
"Billy, this isn't my home."
Billy tried to peer through the darkness to determine where he was. The last thing he could recall was passing out at the stadium. The sheet from the bed pulled away, and he heard Celine laugh. Instinctively, his hands reached to cover himself. Perhaps he'd gone blind from the magic Iman used.
No, he couldn't be blind. He just couldn't.
Something landed on his crotch. His hands unwound his pants. Though it was a painful struggle, he fought to put them on. As he pulled them up, a seam of light split the wall at the foot of the bed. He wasn't blind. The light flooded the room, and Billy had to cover his eyes to allow them time to adjust. The bed he lay on was enormous, nearly the size of his room back home, and covered in brilliant white sheets. The room was even bigger with opulence like he'd never seen before. Golden statues of hunters and their prey on either side of the bed, animal skins on the walls, massive vases depicting fighting scenes and holding flowers of every size and color.
"Where am I?"
Celine, who had opened a 10-foot stone door, walked back to the bed. She'd wrapped herself in the sheet.
"You're home, Billy."
Her hair was tousled, but she looked amazing. The white sheet was so thin that Billy could nearly see through it. He diverted his eyes up to her face as soon as he noticed. Again flushing. She sat on the edge of the bed. The smile on her face never left. Billy shook his head and slowly sat up.
"Did you say home? My home is in the north."
Celine frowned, bordering on a pout.
"What I mean is, the only home I've ever known was in the north. I've never lived in the city. How could this be my home?
Well, you silly barbarian, Stump felt you deserved a reward for everything you've done. King Seth agreed. I also agreed. Between the three of us, we made sure you'd have a place in the city for as long as you could possibly need.
Celine's smile returned and she crawled up the bed, the sheet drooping and exposing her breasts. Billy snapped his head up, but Celine's devilish grin unnerved him, and he wanted to look back down again.
But where am I? Where is my new home?
We all thought it appropriate to keep you out of sight from the public, being that you're still getting used to the city. We didn't think it would be a good idea to have you thrown into a mass of adoring fans.
Adoring fans?
That didn't make any sense. Celine was the one with adoring fans. He wasn't famous at all.
Well, you've been asleep for a few days. I've been taking care of you, in case you didn't guess that.
Days?
6, to be exact. The doctors gave me your medicine, and I've kept you holed up here, away from anything that might distract you.
I guess I exerted myself more than I thought.
Billy shrugged and winced. Celine's hand caressed his leg. He pulled back slightly.
But what is going on? I'm very confused.
Billy, you're famous. Iman wanted to not only destroy the stadium and everyone inside of it, but he was going to use that power to destroy the city, and if he could, as much of this part of the world as he could. And if it hadn't been for you and your quick thinking and selfless actions, we'd all be dead.
It took Billy a moment to realize what Celine was saying. He'd somehow...
What?
Save the world? That wasn't possible. He was just one person. He didn't do anything more than any barbarian would do.
Billy, you're a hero, and the entire city knows it. There's a crowd of people that have surrounded this tower.
Tower?
Your new home. Stump decided to give you Iman's tower penthouse.
Billy looked past Celine and into the living quarters, beyond the bedroom. The blue lions, the wrestling twins, the massive desk, it was all there. He was sleeping in Iman's bed.
I've got to leave. I can't stay here.
He struggled to get up.
Billy, lay down.
Celine straddled him. When she saw him look away, she adjusted the sheet to cover her body more.
Seth came in and rid this place of Iman's influence. There's nothing here that can hurt you. Once you're feeling better, you can change everything in this place. But it's yours. You live here now, and can for as long as you like. Stump, Seth, and I all felt that you needed a place away from the crowds for a little while. A place to recover.
That was all well and good, but Billy didn't think he deserved anything so extreme. After all, he was just doing what he'd been hired to do, wasn't he?
But hired by Iman.
Billy covered his face with his hands. Celine bent down and kissed his hands.
So, I'm trapped here, aren't I?
Trapped?
She sounded offended. Billy moved his hands away and propped Celine up.
I don't mean with you, I mean in the city. I could never go home to the north, can I?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
I'm just troubled by all this. The penthouse, the adoring fans, you. Why are you here? I mean, I was only doing what I was hired to do.
Billy!
Celine looked away and appeared to be near tears.
I thought you cared about me. I thought I meant something to you.
Suddenly, Billy felt like an ass. She was here because she wanted to be here. She wanted to be with him. He'd done nothing but make her feel unwanted since he woke up. She started to get up from the bed.
Celine, please don't go. I'm sorry. It's just that the last thing I can remember was passing out after Iman tried to kill everyone. I'm still trying to figure all that out. You've had time to think about all this. I'm still trying to grasp where I am. Before I woke up...
He thought about telling Celine about his dream with his mom, but decided not to. Not yet. In time, he could tell of that special link he had with his mother.
I was dreaming of home, in the north. I didn't feel like I belonged, but I don't think I've given the city much of a chance. I just need some time to adjust. Perhaps there is an adventure here for me. Bigger than I thought.
Celine lunged at him and gave him a hug. He groaned in pain.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to...
It's all right. I'll be okay.
A new voice came from the living quarters.
Hey, the bedroom door is open. I think he's awake.
Billy recognized Jack's voice instantly. Celine leaned in and whispered in his ear,
We'll talk more later.
And she kissed his cheek, a soft lingering kiss that warmed Billy's body and sent a tingle down his spine. They would talk later,
but Billy thought she had more than just talking in mind. He would have to think about that. A lot. She was, after all, Celine Dijon. She wasn't just anybody.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.